Well, since I've been 54, I'm called emeritus. That's because the IRS and the ALC didn't know what to call me. So they agreed that I could be retired. But I do teach in the seminary, Lutheran Northwestern. Some of you know that I do that. Some of the people who live there don't know I do that. They just think I'm unpacking when I come and that I'm sort of moving through, and that there are a couple people, you know, moving along with me, and they don't quite understand that it's a course for credit. Because it doesn't look like a seminary course. But it's something they don't forget. They don't even have to look it up later. They don't even have to look me up later. Some of them don't want to. And they all get a good mark, so it helps their grade point.
Have you ever flunked anything?
Have I? No. I've never given anything but an A. Never. No. We had a student once who tried to get a B. And we worked on that person for 16 weeks until we brought that person up. This kind of turns me on too. These are my notes. You have them at home. It's called souvenirs, treasures, or what's that in the bottom drawer? And how long has it been there? And why hasn't anyone ever asked me to tell a story about it? Because when I brought it home, it was part of a huge event, and the only thing I could bring home was a twig when I was in a forest. And the twig could take you to the forest, but you don't ask me about the twig, so then I forget my twig story and the forest, and then I feel sadder than I did when I came home with the twig. But we were very busy. Well, you weren't there. I'm not blaming you. Because you're not my father and my mother, and I don't recognize you as any one I gave birth to, or Lois, we did. I remember a jelly crumb once. It was in a Catholic community, and you never can tell what's happening in a Catholic community because they're kind of new. And they're willing to go left and right, up and down, in and out, among, with, under, and through. And I like them. I saw a Catholic leave here yesterday, and I was very sorry to see her go. A lot of people didn't know she was Catholic, but I knew she was Catholic. She told me she was Catholic. That's how I could tell. She said it apologetically. That's why she told me. And I told her how much I depended on her, and I hoped she would stay Catholic and that she wouldn't turn Lutheran like me, because I was trying to become more Catholic. Not just say it in the creed, but I just wanted to be more whole, more total. How do you have a festival? Well, I think I just walked about 20 feet and I had one tonight. I was just picking up from the Posada where we made walking sticks, and I feel so, well, almost guilty, because these are the leftovers, these are the crumbs of the Posada, and they were, if you came in today, you don't know that they're leftover. They're kind of in the way, and anyone who's been here all summer or for a few weeks probably thinks that someone didn't clean up. And so tonight I cleaned up finally. It's the end of the Posada. And I just stood there, and I found Isaac, because I guess one man thought I looked like Abraham, and he went for the ultimate sacrifice, but we couldn't find a match. I mean, I just stand there, and already we're on the mountain and a father and a son and a match and mercy. That quick. I mean, I just stood there on my way, and these dreamers up here who have all these fanciful ideas of what I'm trying to do, when I'm just standing there with a stick and a handful of twigs and ask for a match, and we're climbing up a hill. And Roland Bainton says that if Sarah had known, she would never have let Abraham go. That's not in the Bible, but that makes it very interesting. You start having festivals when you start getting into the margins on the left and the right, and you fill them in a little with things that might have, could have, probably did, and will, and do. So you get the story then into now. A festival just needs, it can have, well, we can have a festival, we could have one, we could have all kinds. We could have a leftover festival, and we could invite all the people who feel like leftovers. Or we could take leftover ideas that you said and someone didn't want, and we could bring them back if we can remember them. We could save leftovers, a whole week of leftovers that we generally throw away and see how much it is. Once Chris and I, when he was quite young and I was younger, went to Florida, and I said, I'll go if you hire him too. And they said, what can he do? And I said, well, what can I do? And we did about the same. We confused them. We confuse them. You really can't have a festival unless you want to straighten something out. So we first had to confuse them a little with all the resources they had, because they just thought they were hiring a person and a son, you know, and I was a person and he was a son. Well, he brought along a welding helmet and his guitar, and all I asked him to do was to bring leftover pieces of metal about which they could tell stories, and we would have a little festival of leftover pieces of metal. They brought bumpers, fenders. It was more than I expected. It was sort of like half a loaf instead of just leftovers and crumbs. I thought it was a bit much when they brought a pickup truck and unloaded it right outside the church, and there we were with all these leftovers, and they're marvelous leftover stories that were left over in their brains. And when they began to tell the stories, we didn't have time. We ran out of time, and they left us alone with all this stuff. There was not even time to weld. So we did it in the night. And the only way we could do it was to cut it into tiny pieces. The pieces were too big. So we cut them into tiny pieces, and it became a metallic alphabet. Have you heard of them? It just means that every little piece stands for itself. We had A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but you couldn't tell it. We could tell it. And then when we put them together, it was a marvelous bumper flower with petals and stems. And we put a beautiful cloth over it so they would think it was pretty. And, well, that's what you do with a book, too. You put a nice cover around it. So we put a cover over it, and then we left town, and then it was Easter. And they uncovered it. We've never heard from them. But they liked it until we left, they liked it. So I would imagine they would like it, because it was beautiful. Have you ever seen a bumper fender flower? Well, there is one in Florida somewhere. And if that house ever burns down, it's the only thing that'll survive. I give tours through property when I go to a place and they want a festival, I say, let's look around. And they want to have a meeting right away. I've done 40 festivals with Roland Bainton through the United States and through Japan. And it's a very exciting thing to do a festival for a person like him. You probably know him. He's in heaven now drawing pictures of God. He had drew everybody on earth that he saw, so I imagine now he's drawing the Trinity. If you don't think that's funny, he would have. When he prayed, he smiled and winked at God. It was marvelous. Sometimes he forgot amen because he was having so much fun. He paraphrased some of the old prayers that were monotonous to me, and he had a festival every time he went to bed. Didn't last very long, but you couldn't forget it. I've been to festivals that last long and you want to forget them. His were so tiny, you'd blink, you'd miss them. Or if your right brain was asleep, you'd say, huh? And huh is not a festival. Uh-huh is a festival, but huh is not a festival. It's the beginning of a festival. You should always have huh inside a festival. It should be one of your utterances. It's an angelic utterance. Lo and behold are also... We don't need sentences at festivals. You just need sort of emotional language. I think it's called being your attitude. Mimes do it well and clowns do it, and Jesus did it a lot. They chased him for it, and they tried to make him explain and write a catechism, but he never did. So I did. Now I'm sorry, Jesus. Because it's not my style. I spent 10 years writing with a large group of people, 19 books, which I shouldn't have had written. But we all make mistakes, especially when you get a good salary. So they usually say, well, we can have a festival, Herb. We're glad you came so you can have a festival for us. And I usually start with anything, like, do you know anyone? Let's just start with some people in the room. Tanya and I have come to enjoy each other, although maybe she won't admit it, I enjoy her, and maybe she enjoys me too, because I think she's really a special person. When I leave Holden Village, I don't always remember the teaching staff, you know. I don't even remember what I said, but I remember people like Tanya, and she does something very nice that I want to do when I grow up. I also want to play the organ. I want to be a scientist and other things. I want to learn to do what Gertrude does and identify flowers, and I would like to be a good early childhood educator like Doris Edmonds and Lois Brokering. But you'll see tonight the beginning of a festival, so we'll have a color festival. Okay, I just named it. You just my rooster is watching because my rooster never misses anything. Okay, it's very nice. I'm side glancing. You notice how I'm looking? I'm kind of like if I stared at her, I'd hardly fall in love with her. When you peek a little, you see all kinds of things. I'm seeing shapes and shadows and motion. Oh, yeah, very interesting. I'm also watching you. I'm looking around. Watch what you're seeing, and let's just imagine that we're going to do a day festival, and where it could all be, a whole day. Just it doesn't mean that we get a bunch of jugglers. We're going to start with juggling, but we're going to move on. So what are you seeing? If we were to create a festival now, what are some things that are coming to your mind? Okay, let's go.
Calliope.
Pardon?
A calliope.
A calliope, that is marvelous. I would love to hear "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." So right away, I would get all the choir directors and cantors and a calliope. That would be nice, to get cantors and calliope. Doesn't that sound nice? Two C's in a row, cantors and calliope. What a nice poster would it make. I'm already in the PR department now on posters. And you know, those are the hard committees to get going, aren't they? Because they can't get a good title. But we got a title already without a committee meeting. So, I mean, we're just starting to get an idea. What else comes to your mind?
Food.
Food. No. Pardon? No, I don't hear well. What did I hear?
Food.
Okay.
Parades.
Parade.
Banners.
Food, parade, banners, and calliopes. We have got our whole day set up already, but let's keep going.
Band.
Make that colorful food.
Pardon?
Make that colorful food.
Colorful food. Now we're going into colorful food. I did dishes. I mean, I was in pots and pans. You probably missed me in the dining hall. I was in the pot and pan corner, imagining you were all watching me. Weren't you? You know, I was back there. We back there were scrubbing. Well, you don't see us, do you? So. I was thinking of color. Do you know what color there is on the top of water when you do the... You're talking about food and I'm borrowing color. Marvelous colors. And tonight that was... All right. Everything's going. What else?
People of all ages.
People of all ages. That's really nice.
Dancing.
Pardon?
Dancing.
Clowns.
Contest. Let's suppose, do you know, have you ever heard of mergers, when churches merge? Let's suppose we just move this into the merging party, and we could have a Chicago party for the merging of the Lutheran churches, or maybe of the potential Methodist, Catholic, and Lutheran. But at least, you know, she's got three, right? Tanya's got three, so wouldn't that be something if these were... if this was sort of a merging symbol and all executives in the new church were taught by Tanya to do this. See, you're reading, you're illiterate. You're reading and you're not even looking at a book. You're just reading right off the wall, right off all this stuff, and I all behind my back, and it's going on here. You're just like streetwise people, like children who don't know an ABC from an apple. So let's just go merging for a while, or uniting. Let's suppose this would be a nice act, I think, for sort of a prelude for a wedding in case the organ broke down. I don't know what that means. It could be that... It's a coming together of two families and the rest of us. Huh? Two families can't make it alone, so it's the rest of us. So this is kind of a nice merging emblem. I don't think it'll ever sell in the church as a wedding pattern. But what else comes to your mind? Get strange. Okay? I mean, stay strange. Just reveal it. If this is a merging party, festival, what can you see in it? What have we used already that would work in congregations coming together for a festival? What have we said already?
Food.
Music. Calliope.
People of all ages.
People of all ages. Boo-boos. Huh? I mean, you can't have a festival if everything's going to run absolutely smooth. If no one drops a ball, forget it. It's a program, not a festival.
Tents.
Pardon?
Tents.
Yes?
Actually, a lot of letters.
A lot of letters. ALC and LCA. ALC and LCA. And have fun with them, huh?
Just mix them all.
Right, and make some soup that has alphabet soup. And you can put together and see if you got an AELC or ELC or LCA or Catholic or Methodist. See what words you can spell. It's good for people who like to spell. It's also people who have overspelled. And spelled over, yes. I'm noticing something else, and that is, wouldn't it be something, sir, have you tried this? You know how?
No.
Well, why don't we try this? And you stand beside her, and we'll see if we can develop this festival just for about 3 minutes more, and then we'll sing a song. Why don't we hum while he does it, and we can hum over it, and that way we'll give him a little curtain. Why don't we just hum off the wall until we get a... There's something new in the room. It's called laughter. Did you hear it? I mean, from the actors. He must be having a ball. What's happening between them? What's just five things that's happening between
interaction.
Them? Interaction. What? Name some things. Very specific.
Laughter.
Laughing.
Smiling.
Embarrassment. Yes.
Communication.
Sharing.
Teaching.
Age level difference.
Yes.
Who's learning? Younger. Older. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Are we giving them permission? Are they quitting?
No.
I'm not looking, because if they quit, I don't feel so good. I kind of look away at these things I start.
What I can do.
No. You also have the feeling that you're spectators and glad you're not doing it? Mm-hmm. Are you rooting for him?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe his tape says you're not, but you say you are. So tell him
yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, he's Norwegian. Tell him
yeah.
Oh. Or I don't know if he's Norwegian. If he's German, tell him
yeah.
And if he's Czechoslovakian, would you say
ano?
And if he's Polish, would you say tak tak? Would you, could you take those with you and just sit with them for a while?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
May he? They're yours.
Yeah. She's sharing.
I have a word called now. Here, N-O-W. It's a big word, and it comes from two directions. Now comes from was and will be. And when you get something that was and will be together, you have a great big now. And a lot of nervousness has to do with how we're doing now. How we're doing now. And a lot of that comes from what people did before now, and what we're expecting after now. So we really don't get into now. It's hard to get into right now. Well, give her a hand. I mean, that was marvelous for him. Didn't you like that? That was so perfect. I thought I was in the Guthrie Theater paying $7.50 for a back row ticket. Some people don't like stuff around. Jugglers, towels, apples. Apples are really nice if you want to get into now. You just start eating, and then somebody thinks something's going on. Walking stick does the same. Tomorrow I'm going walking with children in Narnia. And usually when I walk, come with a walking stick, people younger than you and older say, what you doing? If I come without, they don't ask me anything. And sometimes they say, where have you been? Which is a very nice question. So then I go on and they say, well, where are you going? And now we've got something going. What are you doing? Where have you been? And where are you going? You have the beginning of a story. You begin, and those are big questions. You start breaking those down and you don't get done. Then you have to ask, when do you mean where I was? Or where do you mean that I came from? I'll talk about that. Apples, the same way. If you don't have a walking stick, an apple will do it. Because the apple has an old past. You can see the belly button of the apple right here, see? It had a father and a mother right here. And then you get in here, I'm sure there's a future, don't you think? You can bet on it. If I would worry if there weren't. I would start worrying. I would worry more about that than how people translate some parts of the Bible. If an apple did not have seed in it, I would surely worry. Or if I found one on my banana tree. Then I would think that maybe Genesis wasn't true. But a few misplaced words don't bother me very much. But I watch the apples. And I watch the seasons and I see if the sun keeps doing whatever the sun does. And festivals are just being quiet enough so all of the senses can... I'll just go for a little while on this. We could have a festival where everybody talks about their history and bring someone old and bring some album from the home and brings a story they knew from their childhood and a prayer they said when they were little. You know what I'm touching every time I say it? It's like a typewriter. I'm touching this right here because this is where I am, right here. See it? This is a magic apple. It's a Holden apple. I'm holding it. You have to say things to yourself this way, otherwise you get the feeling that maybe people are angry at you. So you have to say nice things once in a while so you smile inside. I'm touching it. Because I am now in touch with all kinds of things. It would be nice. It would be nice if younger people could just sometime have a festival where they could tuck in older people in a sleeping bag in the parish hall and then look down on them and have the older people open their eyes and sing songs they sang when they were little in their beds. Did you ever do it? I did it once. You don't need to do things more than once sometimes to remember them forever. But there was a pastor in Iowa and he was a good pastor and the kids were good, but I knew that they needed a quick program because the mail hadn't come through from the national office. And I thought maybe they could have a quick program because there were the young people and there was the pastor and they had a sleeping bag. And I said, let's put him to bed. They did. They put him to bed and he lay there and it was nice. They leaned down and tucked him in. I don't know if they were ever so dear. I don't know if they were ever so dear. They were tending him. An organist would have gotten turned on. Softly hand tender. I mean, I'm beginning to hum already and get all kinds of feelings, most of which I can't even use because they couldn't have this long a program. So I'm always tossing away ideas. That is, I'm selecting things from all the things that are coming to mind, unless nothing comes to mind. And a lot of people have just pretty much settled into nothing coming to mind. They don't want more than two things because that makes a choice. You can still vote on two, but when it's five, probably what happens is that they all are going to happen and it's going to jam and one's going to have the lead. And then another one's going to have the lead and it's going to be like jazz and you flunked jazz because you didn't like piano. You know? We flunk so many things. Why do we ever flunk anything? And certainly, you know, he was lying there and they tucked him in and his eyes were shut and it was marvelous. And they just looked at him and they were so proud of what they had done to their pastor. And he opened his eyes and he sang a Norwegian prayer. It was amazing. Luckily I had something to sort of, I mean, they were so high, you have to get kids off a high when they get that high. So you have to have some things along. Luckily I had some soap from China. And you can't buy it. Usually you have to go to China to get it, so it's really not worth it. It's pretty expensive. But I would recommend it. And I had been there and I bought Chinese soap. And we all knelt at a bowl, which Lutherans don't usually do. They don't kneel at a bowl. But we knelt at the bowl and quietly washed our hands in Chinese soap. They have gotten so close to their pastor, I thought we'd try China. I mean, if you can get to your pastor that quickly, maybe you could get to China. It's hard to do a quick lecture on China. They don't sit still long enough to hear all about how many people there are. But they all washed their hands in Chinese soap, and the next morning it was communion. I told them it was Worldwide Communion Sunday, even though it wasn't. I told them that every Sunday was Worldwide Communion Sunday, and they believed me. And most of them, as they came by, held their hands up to my nose to prove they had not washed their hands since last night. They were still in China. Now they were kneeling with the Chinese in Iowa. That was quick. What a festival. Have all your members washed their hands in Chinese soap and brushed their teeth with communist German democratic toothpaste. I do. I brush my teeth in the soap of East Germany with the toothpaste of East Germany. It's not a trick, it just helps me get there quickly. And I carry with me this Polish towel now. I haven't had anything from Poland. And this, what a festival we had. We had 17 days with this cloth. This is the leftover. I went shopping for it with Lois. We shop for cloths before I go, or something that they usually won't take from me at the border. But who would take this from an old man? What is it? Wherever we went, we left it as a sign of elegance. And everyone we saw, we looked at them until there was elegance. And they felt elegant. And then some places along the way, there's not enough here. We left enough for them to make themselves something elegant. We had an elegant festival wherever we went. There was elegance all along the way. What if you gave out elegance instead of a bulletin? And if they wanted to read it, you could just tell them they were elegant. Wouldn't that be something if your whole parish felt elegant? Or I like flannel graph. You like flannel graph? I like flannel graph a little. I like flannel a lot. You know, I like flannel. You could have a flannel Sunday where everyone comes in flannel. She comes in her flannels and he comes in her flannels, his flannels. Or he can come in her flannels. And they could have a flannel feeling liturgy. Feels different. Terry cloth. Once we had a festival, it's called ordination. You've heard of them. You can find them in a book. And they go long. They don't always go along, but they go long. But I like them to go along. I like to feel the flow. I can remember Willie Hertzfeldt, Nelson Trout sitting out there in the congregation. He helped, but not as much as I helped, and I felt very proud about that. Not too proud, but just proud enough for a Lutheran. Lois and I had picked four colors of terry cloth, five really, for this person, and one was gold. Could you put a circle around me in gold? Could you circle me with gold now? Go ahead, just try it with either hand. If you're left-handed, some of you are doing it. I feel like it just went around my eyeball. Could you do all around me? And then could you put a red heart around me? Color it red with both hands, color. Sir, more red. Yeah, okay, and then could you put a messianic rose around me, five petals? One, two, three, four, all around me. This is marvelous. I've never been so decorated for so long. And then could you put a very heavy, dark cross all through and over me, right through me? I know all those colors. You know those colors? Love them. Lutheran Brotherhood Life Insurance loves them. Puts them on napkins. Aid Association for Lutherans tries to get them on napkins too. You can order them. It's called Luther's emblem, his seal. But what I like about it is that it's good to feel red, and it's good to feel gold, and it's good to feel messianic. It's good to feel that hopeful, and it's good to feel saved, and it's good to feel loved, and it's good to feel eternal. I mean, those weren't made for napkins. That's small thought. Not small talk, it's much too small. They're made for more than napkins. They're made for people to do in town. All Lutherans in the new church should do like this when they see each other. Then you would know that they were in a merger. You know, hi isn't enough, or what meeting are you coming to? That should not be the main question. You should do this to each other. And if it takes too long and it's too embarrassing, then they should learn to do it from the hip with their finger. They should learn that. Or you could even do it with your hand in your purse and no one would know it. You could get even as abstract as we are. You could just say, I'm Lutheran. That would do it. Doesn't that turn you on? So, I mean, there must be. Where did these things all come from? They came from, when Paul comes back into the village, he'll take you into a lot of good liturgy and the martyrs. The martyr stories, many of them had a marvelous beginning. I mean, the stories had a marvelous beginning. You know, martyrias, the witnesses, those are the evangelists. Those are, you know, you like to be on an evangelism committee, don't you? I remember how we taught each other how far to stand away from the door after you ring the doorbell. That was sort of the third hour. Before that, we learned all kinds of other things, but one thing we never learned was that evangelism really grows out of giving your life. And the evangelists, I mean the martyrs, the martyria, the witnesses, were those they talked about because they had died. So if you really like to commemorate, and if you really want to be commemorated, Luther said what he regretted was that he didn't die sort of as a martyr. He just got sick and died. At least he could have given his life. He tried several times. He tried quite a bit. So I like to commemorate. And I like that front of the service. I mean, in the book, I think, you know, just to come some Sunday, you know, and get elegance while you're wearing, you know, while you're wearing this and feeling new, and elegant. I mean, it would be unusual Sunday. I would say you shouldn't invite anyone else in. Just do it as a family. And then let the pastor wear terry cloth so that if anyone spills any milk, it can wipe up, because silk doesn't wipe anything up. And when Nelson Trout was sweating, see, Lois and I had made terry cloth chasubles for this pastor, and he had all these levels. I mean, that was like level, all the colors that you colored me with. And one stood for life, and one stood for love, and one stood for faith and salvation. You know, the words we went through. And when I saw the bishop sweat out there, I just threw him a terry cloth, and it worked. He just wiped his brow. You don't have to tell anyone what to do when you throw them a little terry cloth. There are some things that are very obvious. And when you get far away from the obvious, then you have to start explaining everything. And one person said, that whole service felt so different. What was the difference? And I gave her the terry cloth, and she said, it felt like that. And what I knew, but no one knew, was that I never took my hand off the terry cloth for the whole service. You put your hand around the hymnal a lot, it's going to feel like a hymnal. You've got to give some time for the touch to touch all kinds of things. If we just gathered around here and you had your church council, you know, if you have a touchy church council, get in touch with touchiness. They talk a lot because they think they're talking through the stump, see? And they don't think that it's really, you're not really hearing them because it's a little bit of a mask. We all get a mask. That's why preachers dress up the way they do. They need a mask. It takes a lot of nerve to live among you folks. That's why I have this stuff too. You don't think I'm going to sit here without a shield. This is so that if you think I don't know what I'm doing, I can fool you. Gives me a little time. And this felt, see, I was not raised with paper diapers, I was raised with cloth. And I never forgot what touched me first. No, you don't forget. And that's what I liked also. I liked that sweaty smell tonight behind in the kitchen. That was my mother. She smelled like that because she sweat a lot. And I thought of her again tonight. And her hands and mine were warm in the same dirty water. In fact, I can remember her washing me after she'd washed four children in the same water. Never thought of it until this moment. That's what a festival is. It's called Of This Moment. There's so much people want to say. There's so much we know. I give some songs out. And I gave a song to Cheryl the other day. And it's such a good song that I wrote that I want you to hear it. And it's so good the way she sings it that I want her to sing it. I have seven other songs here tonight. I don't think we're going to get to them. It's too bad. Because we could have a festival. We could have a post-festival. We could all just kind of groove off a post here. I remember getting around a post like this once, and just while Cheryl is kind of getting ready, we'll be kind of getting our mind on our own ability to be imaginative so we can enjoy her song more. This is called song preparation, we're doing now. It's called limbering up inside. When you look at any of these posts in this room, let's think of 30 words that come to mind. Okay, let's go.
Sturdy.
30, is that what you said?
Sturdy.
Well, I said 30, so I said 30 and sturdy. We'll use everything that gets said.
Smooth.
And I don't hear real well, so?
Smooth.
Smooth.
Not.
Not.
Pine.
Part? I just
pine.
Say, I don't hear. So,
pine.
Pine, okay.
Pale. Pale.
Pale.
Hard.
Heavy.
Bark.
Tall.
Dog.
Three.
Well, I mean, bark, dog. I just, it's just a reflex I have. Now I caught cow, chicken, moo, away in a manger. Here we go. Hey, up there, could you say moo, all of you?
Moo.
Could you say coo?
Moo.
Over here, bah. We're set. Well, that was just a little, I got there from dog, right? Bark, dog, moo, bell. Tomorrow at 4, we'll be in the Village Center if you're here, and it's going to be on creativity, and we're going to hear the song Mercy, and we're going to enjoy the creativity of Johann Sebastian Bach. I wrote a 36-page poem, most of which I will not read, which will be interspersed with violin and piano and flute. And we will learn the life of a creative person named Johann Sebastian Bach and you. Thank you for this night.